This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Brian Koberger may be at the end of the line here in terms of any sort of defensible arguments that are going to be made in his upcoming trial, as Judge Hippler is, you know, the other week said, hey, we're going to not do all this under the cover of dark. We're going to start releasing some things, and the public has a right to see what the hell's going on here. And oh, are we seeing things like an Amazon shopping history that just happens to have the knife, the sheath, and the sharpener, all in the purchase history of Brian Koberger. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. I know this is something that we've been speculating on for quite a while. The Dateline episode that you were in, it was brought up that it might be out there, and now we have confirmation that it actually is. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's, you know, to me, this is talk about another nail in the coffin. I'm just being, you know, candid. This case is one of the strongest cases I've ever seen, not just because of the DNA, but the total package of evidence. And now we don't have the murder weapon, mm-hmm. but by gosh, you've got the accused murderer buying the murder weapon, which is quite unique. Mm-hmm. This isn't just your average steak knife that might have been in the kitchen drawer. This is a weapon meant to kill. That's what it's designed for.
And the fact that he purchases this thing almost like 6 months or so before the actual crime itself, what does that tell you? Is that premeditation? Do you think he just bought this thing on a whim back then, and then when he decided to actually execute this plan, if he did, obviously he's innocent until proven guilty, but if he did, he's like, oh, I got a knife, I'll use this knife. Or do you think it goes back all the way to May when this thing was purchased, that he had a plan in his mind?
Oh, I absolutely believe he had a plan, but I don't think he had a plan when he purchased it. I think he had a plan months, if not years, before purchasing it. I think he has dreamed of this moment. This is all the times he has been what I think he believed is discarded, ignored, not given the attention he wanted, not able to get the ladies he wanted. The slaps in the face he's really received his whole life, as he describes it, his visual snow and being tortured in that way, his lack of empathy for anyone, including his family, that he discusses. And it all was accumulating. And this was just one step to get closer to being able to exact out this sort of revenge.
Do you think he thought he was going to get caught?
No, I don't think he was. And I have to tell you, but for all those times that, in my opinion, he practiced snapping and unsnapping that sheath, practicing getting that knife out, but for that and leaving those pieces of his dead skin cells on that snap, geez, Tony, we might still be wondering who the four people were or who the killer of the four kids in that house was.
Yeah, and then we have the fact, too, that he was looking at possibly buying another one after the murder. Now, we don't know whatever happened to the actual weapon itself. The sheath, obviously, was at the crime scene underneath one of the victims. But then it looks like he was contemplating at least getting a replacement or a replacement sheath. What do you think the thought process was there?
Well, you know, it's also talking about the sharpener, right?
Yeah.
The K-bar knife, would it have ever been used previous to this? I would significantly doubt that. Yet he had a sharpener. Mm-hmm. Was that to resharpen and reuse? That was the first thing that came to my mind. And then, of course, the footnote that he was going to purchase another, and this was after the crime. Many of us in law enforcement, many of us that know this case inside and out, we have said this was a serial killer in the making if he would have gotten away from it. I will never stray from that opinion. And I believe this just further supports that idea.
Yeah, like he might have been planning to amp it up again. It's just, it's so dark to think of. And this is just, you know, some of the early things that we're learning. You spoke of the sharpener, which I thought was, it was interesting because I saw a picture of the sharpener online. And I don't know if you saw it on Twitter this last week. Someone had made a reference to, yeah, I mean, look at this thing. If you don't know what it is, and it's in the dark and somebody's walking out of your house. The mention the other week was of a vacuum cleaner attachment because they didn't know what the heck it was. And so we're all like, well, did he bring a vacuum? I even brought a vacuum in here for a prop. Like, okay, here's a vacuum. This is like, you know, was he carrying this, which would be kind of crazy. But if you look at the sharpener, you could think it might be a vacuum cleaner attachment, which again puts more validity on what that person saw, what one of the surviving roommates saw when this individual left the house. I just found it interesting that he brought the sharpener. Have you ever seen a case where the murderer brings a sharpener to the crime itself? I would think you maybe would already have it ready to go, but I guess, you know, maybe you need to sharpen it.
Yeah, if he did do that, yeah. And, you know, there's so many possibilities here because we don't know for sure, but we certainly know that sharpener was bought. And I agree with you. Most people would sharpen before they ever hit that crime scene. But, you know, I think many are at least believe in the possibility that he was so well prepared that he might have had clothing on top of his other clothing, that he could have had a plastic bag to discard what he knew would be bloody clothing in that to protect his vehicle and to protect, you know, blood transfer to his apartment and so forth. And if somebody's going to be that meticulous in their planning, it certainly makes some sense that you could bring a sharpener.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've never murdered before, and K-bar knives are known to dull quickly, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you would think he might have researched that.
And it makes sense. I mean, how mechanical he seems to be in his thinking. It's not a shocking thought that he would go, I might need the sharpener, and then add that to the list of things to have. And then, of course, after the fact, just mere hours after the murders take place, this is Koberger. Thumbs up. Nice, clean, white shirt standing in front of a shower. Weird. I think maybe the only picture I've ever seen him smiling and seeming to have some sort of enjoyment in, which I think is interesting. Your thoughts on the picture?
Yeah, there's a lot of thoughts here. First of all, you know, I don't know if I might see a little bruising on that left hand, just in the webbing, below the webbing and some things. It's difficult to definitely say. But I think that this could act. Do you see that right down there?
Yeah.
A little bit further down.
Yeah.
If you can make your camera go down there it is. See on that corner, almost at the bone.
Yeah.
Below the thumb, and you know, just the discoloration, I just found interesting. I also found it interesting that he's buttoned up tight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just shows you his sort of meticulous type personality. I also thought it was interesting that he has his earbuds in. I wondered if he might be listening to something very, you know, sinister in those. In other words, a song or something that meant something to him.
Yeah.
I also found it interesting. It's hard to tell if there's a shower curtain there. To me, mm-hmm. I think taking it in front of that shower curtain or in front of that shower, we know there was never a shower curtain when law enforcement went.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when it was taken down. A lot of people think that white edging is the shower curtain. It could mm-hmm. be the shower curtain. It could be the edge of the stall there. It's really hard to tell. But I think no matter what, it signifies, I can just see him with blood, you know, that would have been, you know, soaked up and mm-hmm. absorbed in the hair and in the, you know, his hands and things just going down that drain. I can just see this, the fact he got rid of that shower curtain, you know, was there spatter on it? I just think this shower area that he chose to take this selfie, I think it's important.
He doesn't seem like a selfie kind of guy. That was the first thing I thought when I he took a selfie. Interesting. He doesn't seem to be that type of a person, but he did. And this seems to be a moment, like I said, it's the only time I've ever seen him smile, a moment of joy, a moment of satisfaction. You can see it in that picture. And when you know what he's accused of doing just hours before, that makes it even creepier and even darker to think of this satisfaction in front of a shower. Was this a trophy? Is this, you know, because he didn't, as far as we know, we didn't take any trophies from the scene. Is this picture a trophy where he can look back on it and remember that moment where he is in just utter adulation?
Yeah, trophy meant to, you know, commemorate what happened. Yeah. This, he can look at this and remember every detail. I also found it interesting that his face was so very white.
Mm-hmm.
It looks in this picture like he hasn't had a meal or, you know, oxygen for quite a long time. It's just obviously blissful and happy, but also just creepy.
It's like a vampire.
Like you would envision somebody to look after they took somebody's life from, yeah. As I said, just this facial expression and the lack of coloring. The other thing, Tony, is there's never been, at least that I'm aware of, any definitive answer of his left and right handedness.
Mm-hmm.
I've really tried to find it.
Me too.
I believe she said at one point he was right-handed, but I could not find that document to say that. But you notice he's taking it with his right hand here.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people manipulate a selfie. You set it up, you know, you have to press the buttons with their off hand. So this made me think he was right-handed. We're going to know all of this based on the wounds soon enough. But that was another thing I just thought, seems like he might be right-handed.
Yeah, I mean, there's pictures say 1,000 words, and this one really says a lot. What exactly it's saying, I think there's a lot of questions there. But just the fact that he's taking this, do you think this was just for himself, or was this something that maybe he put out somewhere? The first thing that came to my mind, and again, we don't know any info on this, if there is any, because he very much seems kind of an incel type dude. I'm very curious about the digital footprint, if he's had involved in any of those communities or commiserates or whatever with them, if this was a, you know, mission accomplished guys type thing to something so heinous, or is this just solely for his enjoyment?
I do not think that he sent this to any particular person or you know, somebody else. Mm-hmm. But what I do think is I could see him using this as his screensaver, something that popped up on that cell phone or his computer every time he opened it up. I could see that definitely happening, or something in his social media, you know, to be his icon. That's how I took it. Not sending it to somebody, but being able to look at it for himself.
God, can you imagine, like, every time you open your phone and he would be, that's your screen background. That's a horrible joke to play on somebody. It's like, who changed my screen? What is this? Give you nightmares for days, years. My God. Well, I'm curious as to see what will drop next. Is this the end of the road, do you think, for Koberger? Is this the one that's going to seal the deal? And do you think that this, with now that this is out there, and obviously Ann Taylor knows more of what's in the discovery, are we going to get to a trial? Is there going to be some sort of pleading at some point to save his life? Because I feel like that's kind of where we're at right now.
So I do not think Koberger will want to plead.
No.
I could be wrong. I've always said it's possible because I believe one of his idols was BTK, Dennis Rader. And Dennis Rader, out of the blue, very bizarrely decided to plead guilty.
I remember that.
With not, you know, giving anybody really any notice. So could he follow in those tracks? I think that is a possibility. But boy, he seems dug in. And remember, and I know people don't like it when I say this, but I just call him balls and strikes, Tony. There is so much money involved in representing him. Yeah. Her salary has skyrocketed. There's multiple other attorneys. I think we're up to four now on the case, and they just brought on a new DNA person, even though they already had another DNA person. The amount of money involved in this deal is great. And so it's really not, I just don't think there's incentive. And I think that they think they'll be able to get him off from, if he's convicted, from the death penalty with all of this autism and he has, you know, a disorder when it comes to
that's being the able newest
to
argument.
Run and whatever.
I know. It's like, what? Every day I'm hearing their arguments and I'm just like, God, Ann Taylor, you are creative. My goodness, you are creative. And God knows, I don't think any of that will work. I think if there's anything that this selfie is going to do, it's going to get a bullet in him from a firing squad. And I think if you're sitting on that jury and you have any question about his empathy or anything, and you see this picture, this would be the vote. This is what would push me over to say, yeah, let's get him off the face of this planet. The selfie that takes his life, I think, is what it might end up being.
No, I was just going to say, there's going to be more. I know it seems like, boy, this couldn't get any worse for Brian Koberger. We haven't even got to look at his digital footprint across the board. Everything he's Googled, everything he has said in terms of digitally, we haven't even gotten to see that. I think it's going to be very interesting and damning.
There's a lot to come.
Craving nonstop true crime updates?
Sorry about
press
that.
Subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.